Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again with another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, we will focus primarily on two things here today. Yesterday, the entirety of Florida State's 2017 schedule was released. Very friendly in its initial look, and look forward to having a conversation there, kind of breaking down flow of the schedule and how Florida State's season will really play out in challenging weeks and all things considered. I think both of us think it's a pretty positive schedule, so encouraged by that and look forward to having some conversation centered around the schedule. And also want to talk real briefly about recruiting, particularly with Florida State parting ways with a linebacker commit. So having said all that, we will jump right into the podcast, and part of doing that is thanking our friends at Louisiana Hot Sauce, a superior product, one that we've been lucky to pair with, one that we've been incredibly lucky to have you, our audience, engage with, and we'd always ask that you continue to do that. And Bud, a product that we've talked about pretty consistently over the course of this year, being both incredibly economical, but also, all things considered, being a healthy option when it comes to options or ways to liven up a meal.
That's right, Ingram. Now, none of us are doctors here, but you know who were some doctors? Some people who conducted a study at the University of Vermont. This hit the news wire, I think, Sunday or Monday. Got tweeted at us, so thanks to whoever tweeted us this article, titled, "This is Your Body on Spicy Foods," and it suggests that eating spicy foods that contain capsaicin, which is obviously in Louisiana hot sauce, could help in weight loss and potentially in the reduction of heart disease. A study, University of Vermont, surveyed a national representative sample of just over 16,000 U.S. adults over the course of 6 years, finding that those who ate hot peppers at least once a month had 13% reduced risk of dying from heart disease or a stroke. Now, Ingram, I don't think this works like if you eat it every day. It doesn't, you don't get to multiply that by 30.
Bud, your co-host is going to live forever.
Yeah.
I am in good shape.
Welcome to the Highlander podcast. And also that spicy food may aid in weight loss, that it potentially can help contribute to the body's ability to turn white fat into brown fat. I'm not actually sure what that means, but interesting nonetheless. We're not making any medical claims about Louisiana hot sauce. Obviously, don't want to get sued, but it seems like it could help. Certainly, if you replace maybe a higher calorie option with some Louisiana hot sauce, that is a net positive for your diet. And I use Louisiana hot sauce a lot. I actually dropped 15 pounds in 2016, not solely by using Louisiana hot sauce, just trying to make a little smarter choices when I'm on the road and plan a little better with all the travel that I do. So anyway, let's you got anything else on Louisiana, or are we going to get into this?
No, man, let's jump right into it. I myself use it all the time, and I look forward to charting my 2017 progress and see if, in fact, I can tie any kind of weight loss to consumption of product. But we got the schedule in its entirety yesterday. We both had a chance to kind of break it down, consume it independent of each other, and excited to get into this and see what our immediate feedback and just our immediate thoughts are on what the boys in Greensboro released yesterday.
Dun, 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 dun. I can't do the CNN breaking news thing, but or headline news or whatever that is. Ingram, Florida State will open with Alabama in Atlanta September 2nd. That's week one. That's not a surprise. We discussed that before. I want to say at the outset of this that this is a great schedule. Not necessarily for season ticket holders, but for Florida State's chances of both winning a lot of games and also for Florida State's chances of avoiding any sort of really disappointing season. Mm-hmm. I think this thing checks both of those boxes. And that's not always true with each schedule.
I think that's a great point, Bud, and it sets up particularly well. You do have your two kind of three-week brackets there where you face, you know, four of your better teams in two consecutive 3-week periods of time. I might not have done the best job of vocalizing that, but what I'm talking about is Alabama space Miami, Clemson space Florida, both bookending the schedule. But it's a great schedule overall. I completely agree with you as far as it very much provides what, in my opinion, is a pretty high floor for what the season could be. And my initial reaction, and this may not have been where you planned on taking it, but my initial reaction when I look at this schedule is one of relief regarding Louisville. Now, I don't. I think Florida State's gonna have all sorts of motivation and want to try to make better, if at all possible, the result that occurred this year. But what I was particularly concerned with as a Florida State fan was, say, the idea of Florida State scheming and focusing on Alabama for 3.5 months while Bobby Petrino was allowed to do the same for Florida State. And say if Louisville fell in the spot where Miami would, that could be the case where you could give that old snake in the grass a full off season to scheme for you while you're focused on somebody else, and all of a sudden you're looking at a team that's had nothing but you on its mind for a couple of months, and perhaps a similar situation to last year. That's not the case. Louisville's back in the schedule. To an extent, they won't be able to focus on Florida State all throughout the offseason, and that was the first thing that I really wanted to look at in the schedule, and that's just something that one of the first things that jumped out to me when I did see the official product release yesterday.
I think my friend and managing editor David Bister put it really well yesterday in that he said there's a much lesser opponent before every marquee game, right? So before you play, Alabama, obviously you have the entire offseason. Before you play Miami, who do you get? Louisiana Monroe. Before you play Louisville, you get a bye week, and then you're at Duke. Before you play Clemson, you go at Boston College and you host Syracuse. Before you head on the road to Gainesville, you get Delaware State. Man, I'm going to say it right now, if this is a national championship caliber team or even a playoff caliber team, it can afford to game plan for these upcoming games during some of these games against lesser opponents. Not saying take the entire week on, but it can afford to rest some guys. It can afford to use some of that practice time on an upcoming opponent. Is it as good as having a bye week? No. Look, I'm sure they'd much rather have their bye week before Clemson than have it on October 7th. But man, this schedule is tailor-made. Ingram, let me ask you this. Who are the trap games in this schedule? You may have to stretch here to find some.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, initial observations, does going to Boston on a Friday night maybe mildly concern you just with the way it breaks down? 6 days of rest after Louisville.
I think that's probably one. Yeah, I mean, if they're better, which, look, they'll probably be somewhat better. It'd be hard to be a lot worse. But, yeah, maybe. I think there's one more. But
maybe NC State after Miami. I don't know. I mean, that's the only other game that I would look at. That's at home. Historically, if Phil Rivers isn't the quarterback, Florida State has certainly held serve at home against NC State.
That could be a sleepy nooner. I mean, they did play you extremely close this year. I know they lose some off that team, but yeah, I think that's probably the other one. I mean, Ingram, in these trap games, Florida State is probably still going to be double-digit favorites, almost certainly, in both of them. And that's, I think that's encouraging. Last year, we absolutely identified Louisville as a major threat as soon as the schedule came out. And unfortunately, we're correct about that threat and maybe even undersold it a little bit. Did you know that the Florida State game is Boston College's 9th consecutive game? Their bye comes after that.
Yeah, and isn't it like 4 out of the best 5 teams they're going to play are all bunched together or something like that? I tried to take a look at everybody's schedule.
Yes.
And Boston College's schedule stood out to me in particular about a pretty significant death march that the ACC puts them through.
Yeah, they go Northern Illinois, Wake, Notre Dame, Clemson, Central Michigan, Va Tech, Louisville, Virginia, FSU. all back to back, no breaks in there. The break for them comes in week 10. I'm actually okay. I want to discuss this a little bit because the NC State game. Now, NC State, I think that's a greater trap game than BC, even though it's in Tallahassee and Florida State very rarely loses, like you mentioned, to NC State and Tallahassee. They do get Marshall and then Furman before FSU. So they're going to be planning some shit. Will be – I think that will be Florida State's – that might end up being a tougher game than Miami just because of when it falls. I'm not saying it will be, but it could be, right? I think it's probably your fourth or fifth toughest game on the schedule. And I'm not sure just what casual glancers would peg it as that. But I wanted to talk about this essentially, in my opinion, a sort of a 3-week bye Florida State really has. Some people have complained to me on Twitter about where the bye week is, but man, let's say you come out of Miami, Alabama, NC State, Louisiana Monroe at 3-1, mm-hmm. right? That's probably your most likely result there. I think you're going to be an underdog against Alabama. You'll be favored against Miami and NC State. Most likely record's probably 3-1 out of those. I think we could probably agree statistically. I go Wake, open date at Duke. Man, that is...
That's a perhaps a thinly camouflaged 3-week bye. I agree with you.
So, okay, how many days are there in September? 30 or 31? 30, right?
Good question. Excellent. Yeah, we'll go with 30.
Yeah, 30. All right. So you kick off September 23rd against NC State. After that, I got a full week left in September. That's 7 days. I don't kick off at Louisville or at hosting Louisville until October 21st. I literally have 30 days, right? Mm-hmm. Until I play Louisville. That's a hell of a lot of time to rep Lamar Jackson, man. And that's a lot of time to get people healthy. It's a lot of time to rep some fundamentals. It's a great time to figure out, okay, which of our guys are going to come down with injuries? Which of them do you think we're going to need for medical red shirts going forward?
Mm-hmm, right.
It's a great time to install some future game plans. Like in that 3-week period, if you have the kind of team that you think you might have, you absolutely need to be taking a deep dive into Louisville, into Clemson, into Florida, and potentially into your ACC championship game opponent if you were to face it, obviously. I like the timing of that, I think.
It certainly gives you a nice little period of time to kind of reset from the first 4 weeks, first 5 weeks of the season. And you're right, if you've got the team that perhaps sitting here in January that you and I think Florida State may have, then yeah, that's a great opportunity to almost have a second camp session. Now, obviously, you only have one official bye week there. It's worth noting that both of these games that we're talking about, you do travel, so you will go on the road. Both of these games being the Wake and the Duke game that I'm referencing. So you will lose some time with that, and there is some wear and tear and travel that occurs, but you do really have a 3-week stretch of time where, look, Wake Forest is not going to beat you. And for all intents and purposes, Duke is not going to pose a serious threat either. So you've got 3 weeks to do install like you're talking about. You can get people healthy. You can take a very much an honest assessment of your roster, figure out where your medical rest shirts may be, etc. And, look, there's situations where people try to judge the talent on their roster as good as they can. This is kind of a subject that we talked about last week on the mailbag show, but you don't always get it right, and sometimes kind of in the season you have to do a readjustment as far as what you thought you had coming out of camp, as far as personnel and what you've proven so far in the first 4 weeks of the year. So I think that's a great period of time where if you have to make internal adjustments, that kind of is a natural break in the schedule and very much lets you kind of reset and get ready for Lamar Jackson and to an extent probably allows you to start to prepare for November 11th, which is when you travel to Clemson.
All right, so let's talk about sort of who other teams have before some of these games. I think Miami here is an interesting one, timing-wise. They have Bethune-Cookman and Arkansas State. Now, they're going to Arkansas State.
Yes, because that's the type of program they are.
Ingram, they're just throwing their money away on rent.
Exactly. They go to Arkansas State. They go to Appalachian State. Interesting schedule, Miami. Well, first of all, a great schedule. And if Miami doesn't get 10 wins out of the schedule that they have, damn, that may not happen for a while. It is a laughably easy schedule that they've put together.
They're going to be favored in how many games? Let's just or run down this real quick. Bethune, yes. Arkansas State, even on the road, yes. Florida State, no. So that's two. Toledo is three at Duke. I got to think that's four. Hosting Georgia Tech, almost certainly five. Syracuse, yes, six. At UNC, probably, because UNC loses a lot. That'd be what?
Seven.
Seven. Hosting Virginia Tech, again, probably eight. Hosting Notre Dame, maybe. Conservatively, I'll say no, but maybe. I mean, they're going to be probably only a one- or two-loss team at that point of the year. Virginia, yes, and then they're at Pitt on a Friday to end the season, which would be cold weather, but probably still yes. Ingram, I got them favored in like 9 or 10 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good schedule for them. And, Bud, maybe they can, maybe it sets up to a place where they can take the Outback Trophy Bowl out on the recruiting trail or something like that. Something really indicative of a big time program. I know currently is it the Champ Sports Bowl that they're taking into kids' houses, which is just
yes,
that's incredibly comical. But
much heavier than taking a ring, which is what FSU takes, a ring from like when these kids were actually alive and
right. could remember. Take your trophies on the recruiting trail. That's a good look.
You know what I do like about the Miami game this year is that. Look, in some regards, it's going to be a pain in the ass because you haven't seen a lot of what Miami will probably want to run. However, given that they lose Stacy Coley, they lose a couple offensive linemen, they lose, to the extent that he's a loss, Joe Yerby, you lose Joku, the tight end, you also lose Brad Kaya. I want to play teams who lost their quarterbacks mm-hmm. early.
Right.
All right. We've seen oftentimes new starters actually win the national title. I think most of the time the national title in like the last decade or something has been won by a new starter, which is why the media narrative that, if you lose your quarterback, you can't win the title is really not accurate. However, think back, Clemson almost beat Cam Newton in Auburn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like some of these guys, Jameis looked really good out the gate. The rest of his team, not necessarily so after Pitt. I mean, they had a little bit of the struggle at Boston College. This is I would rather play Miami early than late, I think.
That is the thing that immediately stands out with Miami. You get them early, and on the flip side, the same reason that I would have preferred perhaps to get Clemson earlier in the schedule, you don't. So Clemson will have their ish figured out at quarterback, at least, obviously come November 11th. So if you weren't going to get them early, at least you get Miami early. And I completely agree. Like, if you're going to replace Kaya, and Miami's going to replace Kaya, good to go ahead and get them in week three. And honestly, that schedule is great for them for the number of wins. But good luck to the kid who starts at Archie State, although they're a decent program, and Bethune-Cookman, and then all of a sudden sees Florida State for the first real kind of live bullets in his college football career. So that's quite the ramp up there. So that'll be a challenge for them. But I think it's a good point and a solid point that go ahead and try to get Miami as soon as possible with some of the pieces that they're replacing.
All right. Here is who Louisville gets before FSU. We already said that FSU gets a Wake open date Duke. Louisville goes at NC State on a Thursday. Then they get a pretty good little break, two extra days before they host Boston College, and then they come to FSU. So both teams should be pretty sufficiently prepared, I think, for that one. I don't know that there's a huge advantage. I think a slight advantage to FSU prep-wise. obviously the advantage to FSU because the game is in Dope. Then you look at the FSU Clemson game. Now, Ingram, I do believe this is a significant difference here. Florida State goes at Boston College on a Friday, Syracuse at Clemson. Clemson, on the other hand, hosts Georgia Tech, and then they're actually at NC State before FSU. Mm-hmm. Now, they get the open date before Georgia Tech, but with that open date, I really believe that they're going to have to rep some Georgia Tech.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
And they're probably, they go at NC State. They probably got to rep a little NC State.
Certainly, you know, after last year, you would think they would. Georgia Tech is historically plays Clemson really well in Atlanta, not all that well in South Carolina, but still, that's not an offense that you can't, you have to devote a decent period of your bye to your install of that offense just because of its own uniqueness. Traveling to NC State is a game that a program where Clemson finds its place in the hierarchy of college football should be able to handle. But again, that's not a game that you can just write off and go ahead and focus entirely on Florida State. So I agree with you. I do think there's a significant advantage to Florida State when it comes to the 2 weeks that lead up immediately to the Clemson game.
So here's something else I want to point out, and this might be important, right? If things break a certain way, maybe not a way that FSU wants them to break, but this could be important here. Clemson week two hosts Auburn. Auburn might be really damn good, man. I mean, their defense was already awesome this year. When their quarterback was healthy, they were decent on offense. Now they bring in Jarrett Stidham, who I think would come in and start for the vast majority of teams in college football, the Baylor transfer who sat out last year.
Right.
They host Auburn. The very next week, they go at Louisville. Can you think of a scenario in which a team with a young new quarterback goes at Louisville and faces Lamar Jackson, and maybe the result is not what they want? I think I recall one.
I think I can think back and find at least one. Yeah, that's a great point. And who does Louisville? What does Louisville's opening schedule look like?
They're playing Purdue in Indianapolis, which I'm assuming is in that dome, right? To start the year, and then they're at North Carolina.
Okay, and Clemson's in week three.
Yes,
those are two games. I mean, obviously Purdue is probably not going to be too big of a challenge, but you certainly have to dedicate some attention to North Carolina as well. So yeah, that's a challenge for both of those teams. But Clemson traveling to Louisville immediately after Auburn, that's a hell of a task.
Yeah, I was very surprised about that. That the ACC would put Louisville right there after Auburn, but it looks like that they don't really have a whole lot of options there to do that. Last couple things on the schedule here. At Florida, again, you get Delaware State before them. I think that's pretty cool. I don't think anybody in the league, as far as its marquee programs, really got screwed. And people might say, well, it's the job of the league to be fair to everyone. Yeah, sure, whatever. Look, man, football still pays the bills. It allows all these other programs that care about basketball to be that good at basketball. Can Clemson really complain about the schedule that badly? Can Louisville, can Florida State, can Miami? I don't think so. Additionally, no Thursday nighters for FSU this year. You get the Friday night at BC, which is just fine, whatever.
It just seems like that's going to be on the rotation, it appears, that's what the ACC has decided to do. That works for BC, lets them have a little bit of a attention in a sports town that they otherwise don't get, and it lets the ACC put its biggest brand name on Friday night. So that I think that's just something that we can expect. If it's not every other year, I would expect to play BC once every 4 years on the Friday night game there.
By the way, Florida State is Louisville's eighth consecutive game.
I did not know that.
Just looking at this, they don't get their bye week until I think week 11.
That's a little bit late, but I don't see the ACC going quite out of their way to do Louisville a whole lot of favors just yet. But
Especially not after the whole stealing the thing. The signals. Yeah. Probably not.
They still have some ways to earn their their full membership, but you know, in all honesty, there's times where Florida State's felt really aggrieved by the schedule, and I certainly remember when we were first doing this podcast and the schedule that what did Florida State had Oklahoma and Clemson within a 2 week window or maybe a 3 week window in opening, something like that. There's been times where Florida State didn't feel that the schedule was particularly fair to them. But when you really look at what the ACC does and the models that they use, I don't know this for sure as I haven't inquired about this in the past 2 or 3 years, but I know up until 2014, they were still using the same software program that the NFL uses to dictate schedule. They really do try to have this be as fair as possible, and they try to take all – you know, basically, they try to let every school have a request or two. Like, it's not uncommon to see people get a bye before Georgia Tech or maybe have one of the conference weaker conference opponents against an in-game or an in-state rivalry team at the end of the year. You know, they try to take as much input and feedback from people as possible. But at the same time, there's only so many slots and there's only so many places that these games can fall. So... on the whole, I tip my hat to the conference, and they're certainly doing a better job of, I don't want to say protecting their football entities, but putting them in a place to succeed as much as possible.
I completely agree with that. The only real thing I see here, Va Tech did not get a Thursday night game. That's kind of weird. They almost always mm-hmm. do.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, no Enter Sandman on a Thursday, but that is you're right. They almost always have that. Georgia Tech have a Thursday night game they host?
They do not host, actually. They go to Miami on a Thursday night.
Yeah, I know that was a Thursday nighter. That's surprising as well. Georgia Tech traditionally hosts at least one Thursday night game a year, and that's a great, you know, Georgia Tech I will rarely describe as a great atmosphere, but as good as an atmosphere that's going to exist there is a night game in downtown Atlanta, which the Thursday night game obviously provides, and that surprises me that Georgia Tech doesn't have one of those, because they usually do, and usually that's one of their that's one of the events that they get where maybe they can get some kids on campus that otherwise would go, you know, go see a game in Athens or Knoxville or Tuscaloosa. It allows them occasionally to have a little bit more exposure to the local Metro kids and get them on campus for a game where otherwise they might not. So that is another thing that surprises me at first glance.
All right. I think at this point we have dissected the schedule really to the point of absurdum. Let's go and talk quickly about recruiting here. We will probably do another full episode on recruiting within the next 24 to 36 hours. We're waiting on some things to come to fruition. But one thing that has already happened here is that Florida State has cut ties with three-star linebacker DeMarco Artis out of the Orlando area. Now, I think DeMarco Artis is a four-star caliber player. Mm-hmm. So this was not about talent to me. I think this was kind of a multifaceted thing, right? It's very possible to sort of overplay your hand, and you have to kind of realize what you are as a player. And I wrote about this a little bit this morning on Tomahawk Nation. Artis is a kid who they flipped from UCF. They liked a whole lot. But if you've been committed to Florida State for a half year, at a certain point, I think the staff wants to be able to count on you to be in the class. Right now, if you're like a five star, if you're a true day one difference maker, they'll probably not drop you if you decide to visit other schools. Okay. If you're a three star, you might want to not, like, if they'd say, hey, we'd really like you to be in Tallahassee this weekend, and you say, yeah, I'm coming. And then, like, the next day you say, actually, I might be going to Oregon next weekend. And you got some other linebackers who you're really in the picture for who are probably just as good, like a Leonard Warner, who actually may have committed by the time y'all listen to this. four-star out of Georgia. Or Levi Jones, who's also coming in for his official visit on the last weekend here. You know, that might not be the best option to go visit Oregon. You might want to shut things down and say, yeah, I'm going to be there. You can count on me, coach. The other thing here, and I look, Florida State battles this sometimes, and this is a tactic that, hell, I think Florida State probably uses on some kids who are committed elsewhere or are looking at other schools. But I know for a fact that Artis had it in his head that he thought that Florida State was looking at him as like a backup or like a reserve player once he got on campus.
Right.
Now, that was not true. Florida State liked this kid legitimately. I've talked to sources on the staff who really liked his ability, they loved his physicality, his ability to play off the edge. But you got to believe in yourself. And I think there is a certain amount of concern if you're a coach. Man, how much coddling and reassurance should I have to give to a kid? And if you're coming to Florida State, I want you to think that you are the best damn player on the 85-man roster, right? Like, you almost have to have that kind of mentality. Not the I don't have to work for it mentality, but that you got to have the mentality that you have the ability to play here.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yep. You're seriously behind the eight ball. And I know Florida State tried to reassure him for sure. Hey, we like you. We offered you well in advance of signing day. You can play here. But I think Baylor and Oregon are probably on him saying, look, man, you're going to be a backup at Florida State. You will be a star here. And that, hell, he may be a star there if he gains even more confidence. He's a better player than he thinks he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting line to have to work on a kid. And I knew it's something that probably the only time Florida State would see itself using this is in recruit or in pursuitment of a kid that's also looking at Tuscaloosa as an option.
Yep.
But
maybe a receiver?
Yeah, maybe a receiver. Maybe a receiver in particular. But this is not a topic of conversation that we'll have frequently. It's not the mentality of most of these kids. I do find it interesting that somebody would be really that concerned about it. I'm not going to say that you have a token offer to a kid at this position group in his own class, but you certainly have one kid in particular that you would have to feel fairly confident that you were going to be able to come in and play above. And like you said, look, Florida State didn't recruit you and try to take you away from Central Florida to add depth. There was a reason that this kid was committed, there was a reason this kid was pursued in the way that he was, and that is something that I've heard as well, that perhaps he didn't think that he projected into Florida State's first team plans 2 to 3 years down the road, and that's surprising to me. And this is a kid very much that Florida State wanted, and Florida State thought was pretty significantly undervalued by the recruiting services. So good luck to him. Hope he is happy with the choice that he makes and where he decides to go to school. Obviously a really talented kid, and ultimately will get to go to a pretty great university free of charge, but it doesn't appear that will be in Tallahassee.
It does not. Look, Florida State is still very much trying to chase Michigan and LSU and maybe now USC for that number four class. The top three classes in some order are going to be Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. Because we're going to do a separate recruiting podcast, I'm not going to go too in-depth on these due to time limits, but as of 8:30 this morning, a couple things we're still checking on. Will linebacker Leonard Warner commit to FSU Wednesday? We will see. I think it's very possible. Now, I could tell you that my sources at Florida State are worried about Stanford. They don't know if he got into Stanford. One of them thinks that he is going to. One of them has no idea. It's very, very rare to beat out a kid that Stanford actually accepts, right? Like, admits. We saw that with Dalen Wade Perry, the defensive tackle from New Jersey. Once he got his acceptance into Stanford, he popped. it's just very rare to do that. And Warner is a kid who wants to be a mechanical engineer. Well, there's not a – I mean, look, realistically, Florida State's engineering is not going to compete with Stanford's engineering. You have to win on other grounds like distance and football program, which also matter. I think the mom likes Stanford a lot from what I could gather from my sources. I think that Florida State may have success in recruiting a different parent or a different advisor here. And we'll see what happens. Warner would be an excellent addition to the class. Additional recruiting notes. Levi Jones, the four-star linebacker out of the Austin, Texas area, is getting a visit from Tim Brewster on Wednesday. Brewster was in Houston on Tuesday, and then also down in Miami. And so now late last night, he flew to Austin. So I believe he'll be going in home with Levi Jones. That'd be a good thing. Obviously, he has dropped Texas A&M. So looking like more of a Florida State, Florida, USC battle for Jones. And Florida State people are confident that they're going to get him, given that they had the lead going into all these visits, and the only remaining visit is Florida State. So they like their ability to close him out. We're also still watching Malik Gray to see if the four-star safety who's committed to Tennessee will actually make it down. I know Florida State, they had that final in-home visit. They want to get him down desperately. They want to take another elite safety in this class. I've said for a long time, if he visits, I think they'll flip him. If he doesn't, I think Tennessee will keep him. We know that he loves Tennessee, man. Like that guy, he uses the word we mm-hmm. when discussing Tennessee. That's not lost on me. Like it's not like, hey, other people in his town are forcing him to go to Tennessee. I've seen that narrative some. I don't believe that to be true. I think he legitimately loves Tennessee. But he also wants to make a business decision. How do you balance those things? You know, Florida State is clearly in a much better spot than Tennessee is right now. If they get him down, I think he'll flip. If they don't, then I don't think he will, obviously. We know that Henry Ruggs, it looks like, has already shot his commitment video. He put like part of it out there on Twitter yesterday being Tuesday. Nothing to indicate where he's going. And people think, okay, well, if he's already shot it, maybe he's going to Alabama. Maybe so. But I know from talking to people in the industry that when you shoot these commit videos beforehand, a lot of times you shoot alternate endings, right? It doesn't make sense to send a crew
right
from New York down to Montgomery, Alabama.
To Montgomery. to metropolitan Montgomery, Alabama. Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to shoot several different endings, and then the kid's going to tell you day of, hey, run this video or that mm-hmm. video, right? I mean, it's not that hard. It takes maybe an extra hour. Don't necessarily read into that too much. You know what you should read into, though? Madso has been dropping hints, and now they got the message out. Our sponsor, Madison Social, longest-running sponsor on the show, they're getting their own ale, the Madison Social. Pretty cool, huh?
And not just by any old brewery either, but significant, very significant.
Yeah, by proof.
Yeah,
great local brewery there, Tallahassee. Madison Social is the best place for food and drink in Tallahassee. Part of the For the Table restaurant group, also has Central and Township there in College Town. I wish I went to Florida State now instead of 15 years ago, because the restaurant scene and the bar scene, I really think is a lot better now, man. I mean, just you have better options. You have stuff that's like not super chainy, and these three are three of those great options. Central, they're great Italian joint. Township, really a great little brew pub type spot. Pretty cool. Hold on here. I was getting a message. I'm sure the South Carolina 247 readers will love to read this headline. It just popped up, got sent to me. Hamsa Nasruldeen, the safety FSU flipped from South Carolina. They flipped him from South Carolina. He is from North Carolina.
Right.
He says, quote, Florida State had the better coach and better plan than South Carolina.
Damn. Wow, Hamsa.
Pull back now. Yeah.
Well, that is certainly a topic that I wanted to touch on real briefly, review, and just to thank our friends at Madison Social. Incredible place, like you said, long-running sponsor. Always going to encourage people to keep the 17th of any month in the back of their mind, as that is Reuben Day. And if you don't find yourself there on the 17th, would always encourage you to keep the Madso Burger in the back of your mind. It's the house burger, fried avocado, bacon, cheddar, caramelized onions, rosemary, aioli, brioche bun. Fantastic, just staple of the menu, and something to always keep in mind when you find yourself down on Madison Street. But Bud, the commitment from the kid from Concord, North Carolina, a big deal happened 4 or 5 days ago. It had something that we weren't able to discuss previously, but it does give Florida State a much needed piece in the back of the, whether it be a kid that turns into a safety or a kid that ultimately grows into a rangy linebacker. It is a significant addition to Florida State. And like you said, a kid that was from the state of North Carolina, committed to South Carolina, and evidently is now dropping quotes about the disparity of coaching talent found in between the two. So that's got to be a tough thing to swallow for Carolina fans, but a great addition to Florida State's class.
I think his comment here is really interesting. He says it was a really hard thing to do, referencing texting Will Muschamp, because it's not like something went wrong with South Carolina. Everything was going really good, he told the state newspaper. I just felt like I had a better opportunity at Florida State. It was a hard thing to do to tell those guys. You know, that's very honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, South Carolina fans won't take that well, but getting Nasruddin is a big deal because of his length, right? Everybody thinks they're going to flip him into a linebacker, and by everybody, I mean like the FSU fans, but Florida State has every intention of playing this kid at safety unless he proves he can't play it. I thought he looked really good at the Army game playing safety. He did a good job there. Now, you want that length against the spread. Florida State is one of these teams. A lot of teams make the mistake of going after length regardless, right, of skill. And I think too many teams do that. But Florida State is one of these teams that can pretty much say no to small defensive backs because it knows it can get length and skill. Okay. Not all teams can do that. Getting Nasruddin is a big deal in that he offers you the length to when you play that zone defense. Or hell, when you play man, I mean that makes a difference to have a 6'4", 6'5" safety who can move. That's huge. When you're spread out in space, the ability to get your hands in those passing lanes and to knock throws down or tip balls is very nice. Anyone else is very nice, Ingram. The stack of the month for next month. Check it out: raspberry chocolate cheesecake pancake stack at Madison Social. That looks legit, man. Now, I really think the best pancake stack they have is actually their buttermilk biscuit pancakes with sausage gravy. Literally biscuits in pancake form. But this raspberry chocolate cheesecake pancake, that's a solid look right there. May have to check that out as well.
Very solid. Not something that you give Madison Social a chance at any time. I don't think you're going to be let down. You particularly head over there on a weekend for brunch, which is served from 10 to 4, and quite confident you will be happy with your experience. So always fortunate to be able to work with those guys. And you're right, that's a hell of an option if you're looking for pancakes and want to start your day off right.
Also, do you know they're having a National Signing Day party?
No, I did not know that.
Check this
Interesting.
Out. So, obviously, February 1st, which is next Wednesday, they're going to be covering Signing Day, and they're celebrating by offering one drink from the happy hour menu on the house for anyone wearing garnet and gold on Wednesday. 11:30 to 6. That's pretty
easy
sweet.
Enough. Yeah.
I like that a lot. All right, I think that's good. We will probably do another recruiting episode tonight to look at sort of the final the final stretch for this class.
Good deal, bud. Always enjoy and appreciate you making time for one of these. We'll get this out today, today being the 25th, to people that have a chance to just go ahead and give our initial thoughts of the schedule. Like you said, we will record shortly hereafter a second podcast tonight once we get a chance to kind of look at the landscape and get a better idea on a couple of different kids. So we'll have a secondary product soon to follow this one, but did want to go ahead, sit down, take a look at the schedule, and give our preliminary thoughts on what and how 2017 will play out. So hopefully people enjoyed this. As always, we would ask that you share this product on whatever social media platform you feel comfortable with. If you give us a chance to, if you get the chance and feel comfortable leaving us a review on iTunes, that is always appreciated. And anytime you have the opportunity to engage with either Madison Social or Louisiana Hot Sauce on social media, that is particularly appreciated and has gone a long way in elevating ourselves and our sponsors' eyes. So we have a great audience, and always appreciate what you guys do for us. And in tow or in turn, we've been able to put out more consistent product and hopefully product that is of a higher quality level. So thank you to the listenership, Bud. Thank you as always. Enjoy doing these with you, and look forward to having a recruiting focused podcast in the next 24 hours here.
You sweater, and I ain't talking about a Cool J. You a big L, and I ain't talking about Cool J. See me at the airport, at least 20 Louis. Treat me like the prince, and it's my sweet brother, Noom say. Group to say I'm too choosy. Take him to the show and talk all through the movies. Say she want diamonds, I took her to Ruby Tuesdays. If we up at Fridays, I still have it my way. Gone.
We strive at home.
Gone.
I ride on chrome.
Y'all don't want no pride from me. What you rappers could get is a job for me. Maybe you could be my intern. An intern, I'll show you how I cook up summer in the winter. Aaron love the raw dog, when will he learn? Caught something on the Usher tour, he had to let it burn. Plus he already got three churn. Arguing over babysitters like, it's your turn. Damn, yeah, it'd be stupid to ditch you. Even your superficial raps is super official. Rock pastel with Gucci on. With TVs in the ride, throw a movie on. Said he couldn't rap, now he at the top with Doobie Long. Cause the dookie's on any song that they do me on.